It's now time for Panther Football on BlancoRadio.com.
All right, everybody, thank you. Now 3 weeks into the 2017 season, the Blanco Panthers not only searching for their first win, but also for their first score. That's right, folks. Two shutout losses at Canyon Lake and at Holy Cross have the Panthers hungry and hopeful today that this battle down in Pearsall will be the turnaround. Will this be the start? Find out now. But without further wait, we welcome you to week three of the 2017 high school football season as the Blanco Panthers are down in Pearsall, Texas, to battle with the Mavericks. I'm Riley Chestnut calling the action, and back with us after missing last week is my color commentator and tonight's producer, Adam Byerly.
Yeah, I'm really looking forward to this game here on the road. There's some Blanco fans that made the trip out here. It should be an exciting night here on Friday Night Football.
Yeah, currently coming down out here from Pearsall, Texas, specifically Mac Laxon Field. Down here just next to Pearson High School, everything all set, all comfortable, as it is family weekend out here for this home game for the Pearsall Mavericks, their second home game of the year.
And you can definitely tell just with all the families here on the home side that that they are celebrating family weekend here.
And while there is some wind blowing through the mic, we do apologize for that, and we will try and cut through it as much as we possibly can. We're ready to get going here, and now just because Adam missed last week, I want to catch him up on what happened. Panthers got sent out of San Antonio with a 21-0 loss to the Holy Cross Knights, which took a huge swing of momentum from the Knights on the very first drive they had offensively. It started with a great return that put the Knights in Panther territory, and just two plays and a penalty later, Gibby Salas III, who is a sophomore starting at quarterback, and did get a lot of action playing in the gun most of the night as Holy Cross' style, and they worked it. Blanco did a very good job defending it, but there were still some great moments, and this was one of them. Salas, 28-yard line, tossing one over the strong side of the field towards the right sideline and waiting for the catch right there with his back to the end zone is Andres Ortiz, who then took it, tucked it, and went into the end zone. Only three offensive plays in for the Knights, and they had the first score of the game. And that really swung the momentum in them for them the other way and really kept them in control for most, if not the rest of the night. But I will say this. The defense wasn't the problem. In fact, they were much improved from what you and I saw versus Canyon Lake back out in Fisher when they lost and were down at the half 24-0. Week one versus Canyon Lake was not good. The defense was pretty good. In fact, Adam, ask me how good it was.
How good was the defense, Riley?
Oh, it was so good. They had 56 tackles with Walton Daves leading the way at 10 total. So the sophomore really coming up nicely and everything. Followed by Peyton Van Dyke's 8. Of course, Peyton Van Dyke, the tallest member of the team at 6'2". Oh, no, wait. Take that back. Cale Noel, one of the offensive linemen who usually plays right tackle, is the tallest member of the team, and deservedly so. But Toby Treach and Jet Hood right behind Van Dyke and Daves, who both got the ball carrier 6 times and even a fumble recovery for the defense that was picked up by Aaron Daniels, one of the usual dual-way players for this Blanco team. But they weren't the most improved for me in this game in terms of what the defense did. The honor belongs to the secondary, which we remember versus Canyon Lake was kind of getting chucked up the middle a lot, especially with that huge wide receiver that the Hawks had, which was McDonough, Kamen McDonough, and two touchdowns for that kid right there. Whereas this week, or at least last week versus Holy Cross, the secondary had two interceptions, courtesy of their quarterback and defensive back, Kelby Cox, and then Van Dyke again, while accumulating 11 pass deflections. Pretty good, considering the fact that from the footage I saw with Holy Cross the previous week, Salas likes to run out of pocket a lot, and that's where he's the most dangerous. And if not for a couple of drop passes by his usual favorite deep receiver, Joseph Dossie, maybe I would be telling a different story. But the fact of the matter is the defense was a lot better, but unfortunately the offense is not performing.
Yeah, this defense improved a lot from Kenny Lake, and it helps with that without Tanner Ferris being on not going up against you every week as he was Canyon Lake's star running back. But really the theme of tonight is going to be, can the Blanco Panthers move the football down the field? Can they get first downs consistently? Can they find any momentum running the ball or passing the ball? So, yeah, let's see if this Blanco Panther football team can do anything offensively.
And as we jump into that, I did manage to get an interview with Blanco Panthers head coach, Mr. Bill Tesh, and now we get a chance to hear what he has to say on the subject.
Riley Chestnut, Sun Radio Sports Network, here with Panthers head coach Bill Tesh. And so, Coach, let's just dive right into it. The defense showed some steady improvement in Week 2 versus Holy Cross, especially in terms of the secondary. How can they continue that?
Well, continue to improve in practice. We've done a good job, and they've done a good job of concentrating and focus on the game plan. And they just got to take the next step and make some of those plays as interceptions and maybe get some turnovers for some points too. But I think they're going to have a good week this week, and I'm looking forward to the game.
Next question: 2 weeks, two games, no points. Simplest answer: why so, and how are you looking to correct?
Right, personnel. We've tried some people in different positions. Hopefully, we're getting in better shape. Obviously, the zero is not a good thing, and Holy Cross is good, and Canyon Lake is good, but we still got to get in the end zone, and we got to find some people that are going to step up and make plays for us on that side of the ball.
Y'all seem to have success getting Jet Hood and going up and through the zero gap last week. So could that better be utilized with pushing drives up the field, maybe extending the offense's time out there?
Well, sure. I mean, Jet or who else is at fullback, but he's done a good job while he's in there. And, of course, he plays Mike linebacker for us, too. So he plays both sides of the ball like a lot of our backs. So he did a good job, and, we'll focus on him and then other people to carry that load also.
All right, now another notice I have is back to defense. There were plenty of opportunities last week to pick off Silas more than just twice. What is being done to address maybe the inconsistency of catching the ball?
Just concentrating. Concentrating on it, seeing it all the way in. They worked the secondary coaches, Coach Balmos and Coach Sheehan, worked on it extra this week. So, they know, and the kids know that, that we got to catch those. And especially some, maybe one of them could have been even a pick six. So, we're focusing on that and working on that extra hard this week.
Now, I'm listing a lot of negatives. I'll shift it towards positive. What things have you been noticing and have you been impressed by with your guys through this tough two-week stretch?
Well, they knew it was going to be tough. We had to step up. And obviously, we did on certain parts of the side of the ball, but we didn't on offense and special teams. We need to work on some special teams and personnel that and look a little better there. So we're hoping this week at Pearsall, we're more of a complete team. Pearsall's a good team, very good team, and he's got a lot coming back, a lot of seniors, senior-dominated. So we know we got our hands full, but, we're looking forward to the challenge.
And starting the slate of play, per se, through these first 3 weeks, all being road games, two Division IV opponents and one the sixth best private school in the state, how exactly is that helping your guys get tougher and tougher for the real serious matter of conference play?
Well, sure, and that's some of the part that you play into this, that hey, we're playing people, like you said, you already said how big they were, and they know that, but we gotta, they each gotta take their own responsibility and make their play, and then that'll make us better too. So hopefully they've done that.
And that's all the questions I got for you. I appreciate it, Coach.
Appreciate it. I appreciate you.
And everything taken care of, as Bill Tesh gives us a good scoop there about what the Panthers will be needing to do now, taking on the Mavericks down here. Again, the schedule has definitely not been easy, and as he stated, it's going to make the Panthers that much tougher for when next week we finally get our first home game out in Blanco, and I cannot wait to see what that crowd is going to be packing. Can't you?
Yeah, I can't wait to just get out and feel what Blanco football is all about, feel what Panther Nation's all about, and go experience a home game for the Blanco Panthers.
Yeah, and of course, just wanting to get and catch up with what's going on in recent trends for the Panthers from what I've seen these last two games. Again, that Holy Cross game, Gibby Salas threw two picks, but he had an opportunity to get picked for so many more. At least I think two more interceptions could have been taken off of Gibby Salas and maybe give the Panthers something, a great offensive drive and a great push. But unfortunately, the case has been, even when I saw it in practice a little bit when I went up there this Wednesday, they're still having trouble catching the ball. Now, I don't know what kind of experience we both have in terms of dealing with some of these simple mechanics, especially catching the ball, but I like to think I'm a pretty decent catch, wouldn't you say? Or do you think you're a pretty decent catch there, Adam?
No comment.
No comment. Okay. Yeah, that's pretty much a bit of a derivative, but just when you have those kinds of problems, it's like the bare fundamentals How important will it be for the Panthers to try and put all those past struggles behind them and maybe not let these kinds of situations get to their heads?
If the Panthers want to come in here on Family Day and get the win, they'll need to force those turnovers that they missed the opportunities on the first 2 weeks. And they'll need to not let penalties cost them. They'll need to not beat themselves.
Yeah.
And they need to give themselves the best chance to win by not forcing turnovers and not forcing penalties.
And now, trying to get things together here, one more note being that for the Panthers, Holy Cross got into a lot of penalties last week. Like, I can count at least 5. Compared to the Panthers' 3, it wasn't... That was actually an improvement, was the Panthers' control, per se, but it just seems like what we saw in Canyon Lake, penalties at the worst possible time. They get great position in their own, in the Holy Cross Knights' territory, but they can't do anything with it. And the closest they came to scoring last week was a short 25-plus-yard field goal kick by Zach Rogers that, let's just say, he had a little bit too much arc on it and it couldn't get very far. Now, I did see him practicing this week, at least on Wednesday, and he was shooting ones from over the 40-yard line. So that gives me hope that if they can get him in range, Zach Rogers can at least provide some sort of scoring, because I know we support this team no matter what, and we are excited to see what tonight holds in store, because last year, the previous two opponents that the Panthers have had now these last 2 years to start the season, Holy Cross and Canyon Lake, two straight years that they've gotten their butts kicked. But the closest game last year, it was the Pearsall game when they lost 27-18 last year, so I've got a little bit of high hope. As everything seems to be coming together, we can now step into our first break here on Sun Radio, as I just want to get this last little legal ID in. Just reminding you, you're listening to Blanco Panther Varsity Football on KTSN Blowout Johnson City, which broadcasts on 88.9 FM, everything on FM, and then K295CK Luckenbach Fredericksburg, which broadcasts off 106.9 FM. And, of course, we stream online at BlancoRadio.com and on the Sun Radio app, all part of the Sun Radio Sports Network. We will be right back with Panthers football out here on Sun Radio.
Support comes from AMM Collision Center, specializing in complete body and paint repair for residents in Austin and the Texas Hill Country. 4 locations, including in Dripping Springs on Highway 290, west of the light at Sunset Canyon. More information, including hours of operation, online at ammcollision.com and by phone at 512-894-3888 and by AMM Collision Center, specializing in complete body and paint repair for residents in Austin and the Texas Hill Country. 4 locations, including in Dripping Springs on Highway 290, west of the light at Sunset Canyon. More information, including hours of operation, online at ammcollision.com and by phone at 512-894-3888. Financial support comes from Charles Schwab Incorporated, member SIPC, on Highway 290 in Dripping Springs, and Brian Carpenter, branch leader, financial consultant. Personalized financial guidance for residents of the Texas Hill Country. Information at schwab.com/drippingsprings.
And by Dirtworks, servicing the Hill Country with landscape material sales, rock milling, and lake construction. Information available online at dirtworks.com or by phone at 830-833-2097. Dirtworks has been supporting Blanco ISD Athletics since 1999. Go Panthers!
And by KNC Supply, selling hardware, lumber, and farm and ranch supplies to the residents of Blanco and the Texas Hill Country. Located at 2400 North Highway 281 in Blanco. Open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. More information by phone at 830-833-1504. Kirk and everyone at KNC Supply wish all the best to the Panthers on a great season.
And by Clay Pack Greenhouses, deep-rooted in Blanco Athletics. Everyone at Clay Pack Greenhouses wishes all the best to the Panthers on a great season.
And now we welcome you back out here from Pearsall, Texas. This is Blanco Panthers football, as we happen to catch a very special moment coming down here in Pearsall. We're here on family weekend, Adam.
Yeah, and it's so nice to see all these players get recognized with their parents before the game, even the cheerleaders and the dance team and the marching band. It was really nice to see out here before the game started.
It was magical, and of course this is the first game in a series, as we see the Panthers now running out of the tunnel, out of that big blow-up helmet that they have. They're running out onto the field and seem ready to go, wearing their road white uniforms with the yellow numbers on their side sleeves, blue numbers on the back and front, and of course that usual yellow stripe on top of their helmets with that Panther ready to pounce. Will this be the week, Adam? I can't wait to find out, and I certainly want to see some sort of battle here between these two teams, which are very capable. As we take a look back on Pearsall, what they've been able to do during this first two games of the season, Pearsall comes in, and it looks like they are all wearing some white home jerseys with dark green lettering on the front and jersey numbers on the side of a pretty simple white and green scheme.
Mighty Mavericks.
And there you have it. Seeing what they've been able to do for the Mavericks this year, 2-0, as opposed to the Blancos 0-2, defeated in their first game of the season, Burbank, which was a home game, by a score, I believe, of 27-18, 27-19. And then last week, taking on San Antonio Prep. And keep in mind, these are Pearsall's a 4A school, and their first two opponents, 5A. So they're taking on some pretty big kids, and they've come out undefeated through it thus far. Really tells you about what Pearsall's able to do right now, as they beat San Antonio Memorial Prep last week. Or San Antonio Memorial. Yep, San Antonio Memorial. By a score of 20-14. So it was a bit of a close one, but the defense did pull it out. So now, what will it take here for the Panthers to try and figure this out as they take on 3 weeks, two 4A teams, and the sixth best private school in the state?
It'll take some offense. It'll take some amount of points, whether that be touchdowns or even field goals at this point. The Blanco Panthers have 0 points through two games. And so they just need to find some way to get in a groove, to find a way to move the ball down the field, get first downs, whether that be with the run game, which is what Coach Tesh wants, is to run the ball. But if not through running the ball, it'll be through maybe a short passing game. I don't see them going long in the passing game, but maybe a short passing game might create that run game for the Panthers.
And now as we turn things over to the field with the playing of the national anthem. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Everything settled. Settle down. Yep, we're safe. So that was the national anthem, ready to go and play, helping things hold down here together as we now get ready for this last pregame. Any final notes you want to put together for this to see what you want to hope for from Blanco?
I'm really interested to see who gets the ball first. If the Blanco Panthers come in and get the ball first on offense, get a first maybe a first down, maybe two first downs, Maybe they might try a long pass and try to catch Pearsall here off guard and maybe get an early score on the board for Blanco and getting some momentum early.
And, of course, defense having a lot of practice out there these first two games. In fact, the only stat that they're currently leading the national average in, according to Max Preps, is tackles per game, where Blanco's averaging 62, forcing three turnovers, of course, again, versus Holy Cross. The defense is going in the right direction, but this will be the real test to see. I really think if they don't pull something out offensively this game, it could be a really rough year ahead for Blanco. But I'm not going to jinx them again. Each new week is a new week, and we're going to see exactly what is going to go down here. As I got a list, and I got the names of who's going to be the captains for the Pearsall Mavericks. Number 21, a fullback by the name of Kennedy Meeks. Well, you have number 25, Oscar Cubriel, and running back. Number 32, a fullback, Manuel Ramos. And then, of course, a fullback linebacker option who really caught my eye, number 33, Carson Neal. Whereas out there on the field for Blanco, you see Peyton Van Dyke, you see Griffin Weirden, you see Cale Knoll, and you see Sebastian Flores, the captains for tonight's game for the Panthers. And, of course, the final captain here for the Mavericks being number 53, one of the offensive guard, defensive tackle options, a senior named Scotty Perez. As you see both The Pearsall Mavericks holding their hands out there on the field, the whole team standing in unison. A couple names that I want to throw out there that could really surprise some people or really catch Blanco people notice. Carson Neal, number 33, a linebacker tight end option. My notes on him is he pursues the ball extremely well, and of course one of the captains out here tonight proves it. And he won't let the receiver go once he actually does get a hold of him. So it's kind of like a trap, a bear trap. He does not let go. And, of course, keeping it together down this list, you also have number 10, a wide receiver, Mark Hernandez, who also doubles as a free safety and is 6 feet tall. Can make athletic plays over the top plays, in fact, when he's up in the air. If you give him a jump ball opportunity, he can really hurt you. And, of course, another captain out there tonight for the Pearsall Mavericks, everyone coming highly regarded. Whereas then you have the quarterback, Nathaniel Gandara, who, just based off the video I saw, again, no stats for this team. Likes to roll out of pocket, of course, when dealt under pressure, and can keep his head calm, collected, and throw to each edge. And then, of course, the final notes here on Robert Maldonado, one of the wide receivers. In fact, he's only listed as a wide receiver. He's not listed as a double-duty kind of player. So that's really interesting for me to see. He can be the guy that really stings Blanco's defense, or the guy to put down if you're Van Slyke or Toby Treish, as we take a look at what helps here. Treish, currently Toby Treish, number 8, of course a senior, 18 rushing yards, 12 total tackles. He has 41 kickoff yard return or kick return yards versus Holy Cross just last week. So, pretty impressive, 63 kick return yards total. He's averaging 21 to lead the team when he gets the ball hit towards him, as we now see both players and both teams get ready to get on the field. As we welcome you out here again from Mack Laxon Field down in Pearsall, Texas, we are get set, get ready, and get going, as it'll be Blanco kicking off first here to the Pearsall Mavericks.
It'll be key for the Panthers here to make sure that Pearsall doesn't start off with any momentum by moving the ball down the field. So right now, ideally, Blanco forces a three now, and they get the ball with a short field.
And now taking a look at the list here, of course, Zach Rogers out there, the man who was closest to scoring for the Panthers in last week's game versus the Holy Cross Knights when he missed a field goal. Now looking to get this one measured up and get ready. He has been putting in good practice this week. So let's see if that distance factor will kick in here with the wind blowing hard inside the booth. Back to return. Caught by Ramos. He is going to go right. Get room. Jump free. Stay on his feet as Van Dyke is chasing him along with Rogers. And look at that. The kicker, Rogers, is the first one to bring him down. But a good return on the 45 in Blanco territory is where Pearsall will start.
The kicker, Rogers, just saved about maybe 15 or 20 more yards for Pearsall. And so that was a crucial stop by the kicker there.
Yeah, and on the 47 is where it'll be, but it is still in Blanco territory and another area that they're trying to shore up. The fact that special teams needs to get better at tackling and stopping the Mavericks, or any team really, from getting in great field position. As we now see settled out there at the line, we got from the left to the right, you got Tristan Lopez, you got Aaron Daniels in the middle along with Gunnar Granberg, and taking up the right side as a defensive end is Griffin Weird. As now it's going to be a handoff switch to the left side. Going to the left side. Now we see the ball is popped loose. And looking at it here, it will be out of bounds before Van Dyke could get that loose one that was forced after Fortner on the tackle.
That was a very fortunate bounce out of bounds for the Pearsall Mavericks here.
And now on second down here with 11:40, one in the first quarter on the 41-yard line. After the six-yard gain, it will be second and four for the Mavericks. As you see, of course, Gandara playing in the gun now. Ramos right beside him. He was the one that returned this kickoff. And it's going to be a play keep to the left side. And watching as Gandara gets going, maybe to the 36 before he is tipped out by Daniels, might have been enough for the first down. Let's see where they put it. Oh, just 1 yard back. So make it third and one here for the Mavericks. But it's still very positive drive here thus far.
Nathaniel Gandara trying to channel in his Deshaun Watson there.
Ah, and of course we bring that up because the Texans had to pull off an ugly one last night. Seems like that's been the pattern, hasn't it? Every time you've played Cincinnati these last 3 years.
Yes, but it's pretty much any win for the Texans has been ugly the last 3 years.
Tis true. Defense does do it, as now in the gun. It's going to be a handoff and a turn up the middle that's going to be stopped and popped short. As you see, they're still pushing the running back back. That's Ramos getting tipped back by a whole mess of Panthers, but a flag is out on the field. And now we're going to see what exactly happened there.
Spot number by Tristan Lopez from your transfer.
And look at that. It's going to be a penalty going against the Pearsall Mavericks. Possible holding, probable holding. We're just going to have to wait and see, as you can hear the crowd going off here. And, yep, it is going to be a penalty going against number three, Jose Gallegos. And that is going to take them a good 15 yards back and make it a third down in long situation. So make it third down and 12.
Looks like we'll see here early just how good the Blanco secondary has improved since that first week.
Mm-hmm. And, of course, taking a look at the secondary lineup out there, you got on the left side playing in the near side is Chris Ostigan. Walton Daves, who led the team in tackles last week, now watching as it's going to be a play action roll right. Blocks up front is now the throw up the field. Tipped, but not going to get there, as on the attempted completion was one of the captains, number 25, Oscar Cubriel. And so that's going to be fourth down and out here for the Mavericks.
Daniel Gandera just overthrew him a little bit. And but he was pretty open. He had a foot on the Panthers.
It's nice to see that kind of pressure, though, coming up front, forcing him to make a sideways running play. As now back there to punt here for the Pearsall Mavericks is number 10. That is Mark Hernandez.
And that's the stop that the Blanco needed. They took advantage of the penalty, and will now get the ball back.
And now the snap is off as it is going to be booted in the air. Waiting back, Fortner is going to let it bounce, and he is going to let it drop away as the Mavericks had a chance to put it down deep inside Blanco's territory, but they let it bobble into the end zone, and that is going to be a touchback there, a close touchback, but it'll be a touchback nonetheless for Blanco.
Yeah, that's something that the Mavericks would want back and would want to prove at special teams, because they had a good chance to put the Panthers on their 1 or 2 yard line.
So a minute 13 is all it takes to see the start of the Blanco Panthers' first drive in this ball game. Going now. Actually, they did mark it down. They did mark it down, as again, that's been a problem for Fortner, is the fact that he keeps letting it go, and now the officials all meeting together, just trying to figure out exactly what the call is. And it will be a touchback.
Yeah, it looked like it went out of bounds. That's why I was kind of shocked when I saw them starting at the 1 yard line, but the refs got together and fixed it.
Yep. So, again, Fortner have been a problem on the return side of punts. Always seems to let it go, and unfortunately, it never, ever makes it to the back end zone before the opposing team does manage to claw it in there and start Blanco's drives very deep in their own territory. But instead, it will be a touchback going from the 20th. It's Chance Horton, the center, with Kelby Cox now standing. Cade Phelps, his running back, while fullback in motion is now Treish. And it'll be a long handoff left side. Oh, baby. Phelps is floored. And you see on the tackle there, initially starting the whole brigade, is Jacob Youngblood. And, boy, that young guy certainly got up there. He leveled Cade Phelps to the ground.
Yeah, that Mavericks defensive line just
swallowed him.
Swallowed the O-line of the Panthers.
And now you see Zach Rogers coming in to play wideout receiver on the near side on the 20. As Cox going under center here on second down. Kelby putting him under, putting Treish in motion, is going to hand it off to him as he swings right side and turns up the corner in the middle. A whole swarm stopping him, but it looks like a good gain there. After the 1 yard gain that was that first play, now they get four and make it third down and a four situation, or a five, on the carry by Toby Treish. As you see, third down and five here, 9:50 to go in the first quarter. And again, it's early, so no score yet between Blanco and Pearsall. As that one's going to be marked down at the 26-yard line, Cox ready. Looking over, getting the call, no receivers out. And he's going to go play action and look. Throw over the middle, and again, Daniels had hands on it, but he could not make the catch as he had that one reaching out. Not the best kind of form, but when you had someone closing in on you, I guess Daniels had no choice.
Yeah, that's a ball that Daniels would want back. That hit him right in the hands. But just wasn't able to grab hold of it for the first down for the Panthers.
You certainly love the size that Daniels bring, and that can always give you great potential at that tight end spot. But the most important thing when you're out there on the pass is you've got to be able to catch the ball. And now it will be a four and out here for the Panthers, but a timeout will go out on the field here first. As before we go into a quick little break here, I would like to take the time to remind you that if you are a local business owner and would like to help sponsor these broadcasts, please give our office a call to find out more information at 512-965-9969, because it's a great way to get your message out to the Blanco community and show your support for the Panthers football team. And with that, we will take a quick little break and be right back. You're listening to Panthers Football on Sun Radio.
Support comes from Lone Star Capital Bank in Blanco, offering construction loans, home mortgages, and banking options for your personal or business needs. Online at lscb.com and by phone at 830-833-4587. Branch manager Ernesto Bustamante and everyone at Lone Star Capital Bank wishes the Panthers the very best this season. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
And here we go, everybody. Welcome back out here to Pearsall, Texas, as now back to punt here for the Panthers is Kelby Cox. And he puts that one a strong fly in the air. It's going to take a bounce towards the left side, and it will be swarmed on top of the 46 in Pearsall territory in another good starting position. Two drives, both getting a little bit of help here. And on the four and out, the Panthers will have to play defense from the 46.
That punt by Cox had a good leg. But kind of had an unfortunate bounce as it bounced up for a few more yards up towards midfield. And so the Mavericks will start it near midfield here.
And now keeping things down here, everything seeming to settle out of place. As we see now back on the field for the Pearsall offense, you got Hernandez lined up in the slot on the near side as the snap. Going to be a toss handoff on the right side sweep, and with room to run, Martinez and Ostigan do a good job of tracking down, but on the carry there for a good 15-plus yards is number 25, Oscar Cubriel, and that'll be a quick first down here for the Mavericks. Moving it on to the 42-yard line in Blanco territory, as walking into the game will be Nathaniel Gandara. And the crowd, of course, we're always on the home side. Blanco side, sparsely populated, but still good of those fans to show up all the way down here south of San Antonio, which for us was a near two-hour drive from San Marcos, as now it's going to be another sweep handoff right side, and Cubriel won't get very far this time as Jet Hood does get on his ankle from behind and does keep him to about a one-yard gain on that carry, second and nine.
Great to see the defense, after giving up the big running play, to be able to stop him just for the one-yard gain.
And, of course, for Hood, definitely knows how to get to the ball carrier as he is tied for first on the team, maybe now taking the lead with 18 tackles, if I can recall, and one pass deflection. Of course, a secret of that last game versus Holy Cross was at one point the entire drive was just handing off to Hood up the middle and letting him run, and it did work out well. And we did see that play once out here tonight with Trish, as now it's a shotgun roll left. Gandara on the run, getting chased, throws it, and it's a jump catch interception by Walton Daves. And make that three picks now in the last two games here for the Panthers, as Gandara, under pressure from Granberg, has to throw it away and throws it right to Walton Daves, waiting to take that one back, and they'll mark it at the 34-yard line for Blanco.
You're already seeing, Riley, the improvements that this team has made since week one. Taking advantage of the Mavericks' penalties and now taking advantage of turnovers.
Yes, sir.
Putting Blanco in position to maybe get something going here.
And now back under center. No receivers lined up. All backs for Cox as 8:29 to go in the first quarter. And it's a toss through the middle is going Phelps. He's got good room. He's got good space. And he's got good mileage to get about 6 yards on the carry and make it second down and four.
I'll take a 6 yard run on first down any game, any play.
Meanwhile, shoring up the middle here for Pearsall, you've got guys like number 50, Fernando Hernandez, who plays defensive tackle and is a senior. Of course, this roster, very experienced, mostly made up of seniors, a good chunk of it, if not just upperclassmen in general. Now ready to go here is Cox with Trish playing as his wing back, put in motion. Oh, a nice sneak handoff through the middle to Phelps, and he is going to push for about 3 more yards, maybe make it third down and short. Third down and one, and that is what we're going to mark it. Yep, third down and one here on the 2 yard carry by Cade Phelps. His second one of the game already. As you see, Ostigan does check in and brings the play with him for Kelby Cox and the entire offense.
And this is the kind of game that Blanco wants to play. They want to play getting a couple yards on first down, getting a couple on second, and putting them in these third and one, third and two situations.
And now we got one, two receivers lined up on the far side and the near side on the 40 and away from the 40 in Van Dyke and Fortner as it's a handoff up the middle. And look at that, it's a fake keep by Cox as he gets rushing forward. Looks like he gains a good 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 on the play. And so, obviously, that's first down for the Panthers on a fantastic key by Cox. I didn't even know he had it.
Yeah, that, I like the trickery by the Blanco offense. Still sticking to the run, but kind of surprising the Maverick defense here.
And I remember in the first game of the year, you said you wanted to see some sort of trickery with the way Blanco calls their plays, and thus far tonight, we're seeing a good version of two different quarterback sneaks for Kelby Cox. As now Fortner in the wing with two in the backfield, and it's a toss. Cade moving through on the line as he is going to be trudged up and taken over. First tackle laid out by number four, Adrian Anzua. And still, great gain, about 5 yards on the play again. Make it second down and five here with 6:27 and counting to go in the first quarter. No team scored yet.
The Blanco offense finally looking like they're getting into the groove that they want to get into, getting these 5-6 yard runs on first down.
And going from the 47-yard line in Pearsall territory, we got Rogers playing on the far side right in front of the 50. Has put in motion Fortner, but it's a handoff to the middle back as Phelps is going to be stampeded. If he didn't gain anything, he might have lost one as he was floored down by number 9. That was Vincent Torres on the takedown. Fantastic work there as Van Dyke will now bring in the play with him as he checks into the ball game.
That was obviously not what the Panthers wanted on second down, so it should be interesting to see what they go to now. Do they stick with the run or maybe open up in the passing game?
Well, now it is going to be third down and 5 here from the 46-yard line. Two receivers out, both playing relatively short as Cox is going to fire it left side up to Van Dyke and hope he makes a play, and he does! What a fantastic catch by Van Dyke that moves them onto the 22-yard line as he had to back up and fall down to make that play. But using all 6 feet, 2 inches of himself, Van Dyke, incredible catch.
Good throw, but great catch there by Van Dyke, helping this Panthers offense get going in the passing game.
And look at that. It's marked at the 23, but still that close to the red zone. This was an area that kind of struggled as we see quick substitutions, and there will be a flag thrown as they did not get all their subs out for Pearsall in time as the ball is popped loose. And look at this. It is a recovery, and it looks like Vincent Torres was the first one to get there for the Mavs, but a flag did come out on the play as it looked like Pearsall was rushing to get their substitutions out.
It looks like Blanco might be fortunate here with the legal substitutions here by the Mavericks.
Yeah, so let's see. Officials trying to check it here. Now we've got it, and it will be against Pearsall. So that fumble is going to be taken away, and the Panthers will basically get a mulligan. Big break there.
Big break by Blanco. They're finally getting something going on offense. To have a fumble there would have been very costly for the Panthers.
Mm-hmm. And now moving a few yards up, now on first and five, it'll be on the 18. So Blanco in the red zone, now threatening to score. I don't want to jinx him, but I am starting to feel a little bit good about what's going down here as you see Sebastian Flores standing on the 20, while Granberg brings up the side with a little bit of spread on that coverage on the weak side as it's going to be a handoff. Cutting forward is Treish as he jumps it, gets trucked down by Carson Neal and company, but does gain a few, maybe three on the play to make it second down and short with 4:38 and counting to go in the first quarter, and Blanco in the red zone threatening.
This does not look like the same Blanco team I saw week one. They look like they know what they're doing. They're finding the holes, and they're getting some good yardage.
They're finding good chemistry and good, great play, in fact, and without only one big pass play. And Van Dyke, I give credit to him. That was the biggest play of this drive yet, and the biggest play all season I can recall, as you now see Granberg move out into the slot to play wide receiver. Both on the left side is a handoff off the middle left side for Phelps. He is pushing. He almost gets stripped, but he does keep the ball in his grasp as he gets the first down on his way to the 9. On that tackle there, a pretty mean one, was R.J. Telis.
He was trying to channel his Ezekiel Elliott, trying to carry the defender on his back.
And going through the left side hole, did a great job with it too. But still, Telis, putting all the force he had behind it, does come up with a tackle, but Blanco does come up with the first down and now stands at first and goal from the 9-yard line. And now Flores moved to play wide out with Granberg in the slot right next to the hash marks. Two in the backfield for Cox under center. And it's going to be a handoff to Hood as he creeps through the front side. Keeps getting backed up and is bullied down by Carson Neal on that second attack. Might have gained, I believe, them to the 6-yard line to make it second down and goal. Second and goal. Why did I say second down? But still, 3:21 to go in the first quarter. And we will have it marked at the 7-yard line, actually. So a 2-yard gain on that carry there by Jet Hood.
It should be interesting to see here in the goal line
formation if they try just running it or if they do any quick slant routes.
Do something crazy. But now back under center, Ostigan playing as the only receiver on the right side and keeping it and rolling right. Cox is going to try and go for a foot race, get to the edge, a keep going out on the edge as a flag is going to be thrown. And the way this crowd's reacting, it might be a little bit of unnecessary roughness here as you saw a full flight wide run there by Kelby Cox on the keep, and he gets him down at the 7, so apparently no gain at all, but the flag did pop out. So we're just going to have to wait and see again. As
maybe hit out of bounds on Cox.
Yeah, so, yep, it will be against Pearsall for that exact reason. Good call, Adam. So another penalty costing the Mavericks here and helping the Panthers out as they are that much closer to getting the first score of the season here. And I can almost taste it. But now going from the 4-yard line. Ready to go here under center. Handoff. Granberg bullying. Diving. And the call is he is short. Might be inside the 1-yard line, though. It was Gunnar Granberg, the 257-plus-pound, 5'7", sophomore fullback option. So in these kind of situations, you want to get that push to the zone. And, yep, 3 yards on the gain. So they are inside the 1-yard line here on second down with 2:30 and counting to go in the first quarter. I can almost taste it, Adam. I swear to you.
Blanco's about to.
And they're going to push the keep across in the dive. And let's see. The refs are running in to see where he finished. What's the push? We're still waiting on the call here. Oh, boy. And let's see. Let's see. There might be a fumble out on the play. Oh, it's so close. It is still going to be with Blanco, but they are right on the very edge, like third and inches away from the end zone as Cox runs over to the sideline to get the call.
Riley, it should be interesting here if they don't get it here. If it's fourth down territory, if they go for a fourth down.
Mm-hmm. I mean, when you're that close, it literally looks like they are centimeters away, like 2 centimeters. And now Cox back under center. He's going to hand off. And diving forward is Granberg, and he gets it! Touchdown, Blanco!
That is your first Panther touchdown of the year.
And it goes to Gunnar Granberg, the sophomore fullback. Of course, he has a brother on this team, number 10, Will Granberg. But congratulations there, Gunner, for getting the first score of the year for the Panthers in Week 3 and to give them the early 6-0 lead with Rodgers now out there looking to ice the PAT. And he shall. So, first score of the season for the Panthers. 7-0 Blanco with a minute 50 to go in the first quarter and their first lead, obviously, of any kind this season. And it was a very well-executed drive, Adam. And on that note, we can take a quick break and come back here, as now, for the first time this season, the Panthers will be playing with a lead. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Blanco Panthers football on BlancoRadio.com and the Sun Radio Sports app.
Support for Panther football comes from Old 300 Barbecue, open 7 days a week on the square in Blanco. Large and small catering available. More information at 833-1227 or online at old300bbq.com. On behalf of Old 300 Barbecue, here's to a great 2017 Panther football season.
And now, ready to bring it back out here, are the Panthers with their first kickoff after a score this season in Week 3 versus the Mavericks. It started off fantastically for the Panthers. It had some close calls. I do remember the fumble that was inside the red zone that was called back because of what I remember, a legal substitution. Exactly right. Pearsall did not get all their men off the field, and so it was an incomplete substitution. And now Rodgers standing tall with the ball on the 40. He's going to boot it, a sharp one forward that gets bounced back from the 20, a squib kick going to be taken by Kubriel, and he is going to get floored on the low chop hit there by Van Dyke. He put his whole shoulder pad on Kubriel and sent him front wheeling.
I think this, Riley, this is the first time I've seen this Blanco team look really confident.
You're telling me. I've been sitting here for 2 weeks waiting to see this kind of opportunity, and it is fantastic to see for the Panthers going on right now.
They look like they're fully buying in to the game plan and fully believing that they're going to come out winning tonight.
So you can say maybe a little bit of rust to shake off from those first 2 weeks trying to get their spring legs under them. As now going from the 32-yard line, put in motion is Kubriel, and it will be a keep by Gandara as Toby Treisch takes him back a couple, maybe three or more yards on that spin sack right there. It was a keep up the middle. A quarterback keep, a fake handoff to Kubriel, who was put in motion from the wide lot slot, and it didn't go anywhere. Toby Treisch right on the mark, ready to go, full blazes at him. And, of course, my notes on Treisch say it all. He's the everyman for this team. He averages 76.5 yards, all-purpose yards per game to lead the team, and now it's going to be a sweep handoff right side. Kubriel going edge, stays on his feet, one-on-one with Ostigan, who finally wraps him up down just short of the 40, so that is going to be a third down and three situation with under a minute, 56 seconds of counting to go. Blanco up 7-0.
Riley, wouldn't it be big here if the Blanco Panthers are able to get them three and out here and get the ball back and maybe go up two touchdowns here early on?
You'd definitely be right there, partner. And, of course, time ticking on this first quarter, 40 and under now. Trying to keep it all together. Of course, there's no pressure. You're only down one touchdown, as now you got Hernandez out in the slot on the left side. Snap, side handoff through the left edge. Right side, actually. Oh, Kubriel somehow stiff-armed his way out of a tackle, but is going to be brought down about 6 or 4 yards back of that carry. Make it third down and 8 as Toby Treisch again hounding him, breaking through.
And the Blanco fans that arrived here, that drove here, are on their feet, excited, being loud over there on the Blanco side.
It's so deserving for this fan base. First game of the year and the first drive with full confidence here for the Panthers. And that is going to be the first quarter, everybody. Score is 7-0 Blanco as they go a full drive down the field and then get on third and inches, a sneak touchdown from their fullback, Gunnar Granberg. First of the season and the first of his Blanco varsity career. So congratulations, Gunnar. But when we come back from this break, we'll have the second quarter ready to go as Blanco currently leads 7-0 down here on the road in Pearsall. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Blanco Panthers Football Online and on 106.9 Fredericksburg and 88.9 Johnson City.
Support for tonight's Blanco Panther football broadcast comes from Peterson Tire, the Hill Country's authorized Yokohama dealer, offering Yokohama tires including Geolander AT Geo15 and HT Geo56, Avid lines and performance tires like Advance Sports AS and S Drive, locations in Blanco and in Johnson City along Highway 281, available by phone at 830-833-1004 in Blanco and 830-868-2004 in Johnson City. Daniel and everyone at Peterson Tire wish all the best to the Panthers in a great 2017 season. Go Panthers!
And now, welcome back everybody as the second quarter is quickly starting with the field switch out here. Going now from the 37-yard line as both sides switch sides of the field, and now we are going from the left side of the field as you see two deep backs waiting for this punt here in the air. It is going to be booted right side and Austin is going to watch it bounce out at just in front of the 30, maybe the 31, 33, 34. That's the same area that I'm going to put it down as, but it will be a decent starting position here for the Blanco offense, fresh off of their first scoring drive of the season.
It should be very interesting to see if the Mavericks make any adjustments to try to stop the Panther running attack.
And now I do want to give notice to the punter here for Pearsall, who's done a pretty good job through his first two kicks. It is Mr. Matthew Gonzalez. As you see, the crowd, the home crowd out here, there's some fans standing as we are now getting ready to see the play start here under center. Put in motion is Treisch, and it will be a right side keep for Cox as he rushes it forward. Gets a little bit of help on the push and might have cut the distance as 5 yards on the gain, maybe 6, and that is going to be second down and 5 yards. With 11:39 to go here in the second quarter, Blanco leading 7-0, and I can't help but notice out here in the front, walking up the seats, a little girl holding a box that says, "Help Hurricane Harvey Victims," and a woman with a poster that says, "Hope After Harvey." Just touching right there, Adam. Is now back under center. One receiver on the right side in the form of Treisch. Put in motion is Fortner. He's going to take the handoff through the right side sweep. Get a bit of a decent block as now a few flags are thrown out on the play. And the play never stopped as the flags were thrown. In fact, they take Fortner back after he puts him at second down, third down, and 2. And push him back an extra 4 yards just to send a message.
And Riley, I wouldn't expect anything less from the people here in Pearsall, as they have been nothing but hospitable and nice to us since we've arrived.
It's just been, you can tell they're really friendly here in Pearsall.
Mm-hmm. As anywhere in Texas. In fact, what is so fascinating about the city as it appears the penalty will be against Blanco, I believe. Yep, they're going to be taking the ball back. One interesting thing about Pearsall is it's got proud football heritage. Dan Studdard, way back in the 70s from Pearsall, Texas, born in San Antonio. He went to Texas, and his son, and of course Dan Studdard, ended up having a 9-year career from 1979 to 1988 as a tackle for the Denver Broncos. His son Casey Studdard, whom you would know well, was a tackle for the Texans for 5 years and also went to his dad's alma mater, the University of Texas. So I can only imagine what Dan went through having to create holes for Earl Campbell. It's definitely fascinating. As you see, it's going to be a keep to the left side. Pushing is Hood as he is going to be tackled down by Mr. Talese. Doesn't really gain much on the play as a flag is thrown out again. And we're going to see what this one's about. But another interesting fact. You remember Casey, don't you?
Yeah, I remember him. And kind of wish we could have him back because our offensive line
is tough.
It's tough. Even though we got the win last night, still the offensive line is the biggest issue on these Texans.
Well, at least all your guys still have their jobs. As you see, it'll be another penalty going against Blanco as they are getting sent way back there. In fact, now all huddled together, standing behind the 30-yard line on top of the 25. They're going to be moving that ball back to the 32-yard line as the first down marker is all the way on the 50. So this is second down and 18. And another fun note being that Pearsall is where George Strait was raised. And, of course, we know George Strait very well as the most successful musician to ever grace Texas State.
Maybe the great state of Texas.
Yeah, you're exactly right. The king of country for a good reason is now Fortner put in motion. And look at that. Someone jumped the line over there for Pearsall. And it looks like it could be an offside situation. It looked like it was the nose tackle up the front as he is immediately checked out of the ball game. That is number 55, Daniel Salais. Just jumped the gun trying to get over Horton, and that is going to be a penalty that gives a little bit back here to the Panthers and now makes it second down and 13 to take 6 yards off of that tip.
Yeah, the Pearsall Mavericks are already committing quite a few penalties that they shouldn't be and that they wish they wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So it should be interesting to see if they're able to clean it up before the end of this half.
And now going from the 37-yard line back in their own territory is the Panthers with Van Dyke, the only receiver out in the slot, in a way back motion as they toss it to Fortner. He goes wide right, gets a block on the outside edge, and pushes it past the initial line of scrimmage marker, make it third down and 8 here. So a good push there to get about 5 yards on that wide run that had him going flat to the edge before he got knocked out.
And the Panthers, if it wasn't for that Mavericks penalty, it would be about 3rd and 16 right now.
Mm-hmm.
Panthers have a way better chance of getting the first down here with it only being 3rd and 8.
Yep. And now going here from the 41-yard line, we both made a mistake there, Adam. It's 3rd down and 9. But that's still pretty long. I mean, you take into account each yard is 3 feet. It's amazing how much ground these guys have to be able to cover with just such a quick step. Is now put in motion again is Fortner. He goes to the left side, goes quickly as they're going to have Cox rolling, getting a block from Hood as he fires it up the left side of the field. And it's picked off! Oh, the pick off Cox as he overthrows his intended receiver, Toby Treish. On the interception is Vincent Torres. And that is going to give the Pearsall Mavericks the ball to go here from the 36-yard line.
Interesting play call by the Blanco Panthers, up 7-0. We didn't know how they would play with the lead, but going aggressive there and going for the big pass. It just happened that he overthrew the guy, overthrew his receiver, and it was picked off by the Mavericks.
And, of course, Cox playing in this Blanco-style offense that does the wing tee and obviously prefers the run game, which was such a huge part of that drive that got Blanco in the end zone, as now with 10:01 after the interception to go in the second quarter. The score is still 7-0 Blanco, but now it's going to be a keep off the long fake handoff there for Gandara before he is taken down by Tristan Lopez and Toby Treish on the combined effort. Barely gains anything. Yep, about, I'd say, a foot there on that carry, so make it still pretty close to second down and 10, making second down 9 3/4.
The home crowd here getting loud, trying to root their team on to evening up this game at 7 apiece.
And, of course, we're right next to the PA announcer in this thing. So he's bringing everything we need as you watch the edge. It's going to be a keep to the long side, weak side run. Look at that big gap and a big go all the way to Blanco's 45, but a flag did come out on the play. But on the carry there was number 12, Javier Martinez.
If this flag goes against the Mavericks, what another?
That'd be a big waste. But let's see here. The officials all meeting together to see what the call is. The flag was thrown towards Blanco's sideline on the 50-yard line. So we're going to see what this is exactly about. Didn't take place before the play started or immediately when the play started. It started to happen as soon as they managed to get across midfield. And would you look at that?
The Mavericks are backing it up.
Backing it up, and yep. The officials are backing up, so that is going to be another penalty against the Mavericks. I don't know what it is about playing Blanco thus far these first 3 weeks, but every team the Panthers have played, that is the battle they have most easily won, is the fact that they've had a tough, tough lack of control and keeping everything back, as they're going to move it to 2nd and 5 now on the 40 for the Mavericks and have them replay after what was a huge gain on the sweep left side carry by Mr. Martinez. And they're going to give it to him again. Martinez through the left side, the same play, and it works out well as he is tackled out of the sideline in front of the Blanco bench by number 63, Griffin Weirden. Same play, same result.
If it keeps working, don't stop trying it.
Yeah, don't let it stop just because your team accidentally took that one away from you. Martinez wanted it back, and Javier got exactly what he wanted. As now it is first down on the 46-yard line.
That's what I say in school when I wait to the night before a test of study. If I pass it, if I keep passing them, I keep doing it.
Yeah, if you have the exact same study method and it works every time, why don't you keep going with it? As now it's going to be a handoff, a side handoff, as it'll be a good 4-yard carry up the middle. On to the 50 is where they go, as Van Dyke in the huddle, the first one to get to him. And on that carry, stopped on the play, looks like it was Mr. Cubriel.
Seems like the Panthers have done a lot better job stopping the running game in the middle than on the outer side of the field.
Yeah, those wide out runs are certainly hurting the Panthers right now, as actually it was a 6-yard gain to make it 2nd down, actually 5-yard gain. 2nd down and 5 from the Panthers 49, as now it's a gun snap and a bit of a shaky handoff, but Martinez still has room to run left side. And another first down, as you see that carry going on his way to the 38-yard line, 39-yard line. So that was about a good 9-plus yard carry there for Martinez on another side, and then a cutback through the left side by Martinez. He is just quick as a lightning bolt right now.
And Martinez is finding some success running on the outskirts of the field, finding some gaps against this Panther defense.
And after getting a bit of a shaky start on that handoff from Gandara, he still finds himself balanced enough to pick up and go straight where he left off, as on the tackle where most of the entire linebacking core for the Panthers, is now the snap is another left side handoff. This a good jump on the cut forward. On the carry is a captain, Manuel Ramos, as he is taken down. One guy in the middle of it all, Gunnar Granberg, who of course scored the first Blanco touchdown of the season on two drives ago, actually. But still, a great game, makes it 2nd down and 2 here from the 31-yard line.
The Blanco Panthers defense is now looks like struggling getting those, like, you know, two-yard or shorter.
Yeah, they can't stop the side run here with 7:15 to go in the second quarter. Score 7-0. Blanco is in the gun as Gandara. He is going to toss it off the left side run, going to the edge. Another first down carry just shy of the red zone before he is knocked out by Paco Vargas. Guess who? Martinez on the carry.
Martinez is getting anything he wants right now against this Panther defense.
And on that exact same kind of play, the side run put in motion early from the right side, playing in the slot. He comes all the way to take a soft toss in the middle from Gandara and then cuts after going wide, almost lateral with the lines here, and then he cuts forward and makes it look so easy, as now we're going to go from the 25-yard line.
I'd watch a Daniel Gandara run soon.
Look out here. It will be a handoff, right side, down the middle, and Blanco does a good job of stopping it. As on the carry was Oscar Cubriel. Tackles laid down by Jet Hood and company. Makes it a 1-yard gain, 2nd down and 9 here from the 24.
Mavericks went down the middle and only got 1 yard. I guess they're just trying to get a different variety of play calling, but I would say stick it to the outer runs if you're going to keep succeeding.
Mm-hmm. As now everything seems to be coming together here for this strong side team with 6:26 to go in the first half. Score 7-0. Blanco is under center. It'll be a toss left side to Martinez as he jumps. Is held to his shortest gain yet, as instead of the usual wide out early motion run, it was just a flat route up the left side, tackled down by Tristan Fortner. keeps it relatively calm here as they go from the 26-yard, 21-yard line. And so that makes it second down, third down and six here as we see a couple substitutions coming into the ball game now. Specifically for the Mavericks, you got number 22, Mimi Cuevas. Of course, Cuevas, a running back and a junior on this roster that is composed entirely of returnees for the Mavericks. This is something to see. Is now looking out over the line in the gun. A couple backs on his side. Gandara is going to keep it and roll right. Have a lead blocker and go. Chased by Phillips. Staying on his feet, and he can't get the ball as it's popped loose out of bounds. It won't be recovered by Blanco, but Gandara held it too long and almost paid the price.
And another fumble by the Mavericks that took a fortunate bounce out of bounds.
I think that now makes it five fumbles forced for the Panthers this season, but only one recovery by Aaron Daniels last week, as you saw Phelps was the guy on top of Gandara breaking in front of his lead blocker. Number 64, I believe, is Juan Salazar. Had him pulling to the right side to protect Gandara, but he could never find anyone down the field, so a good job by the secondary eliminating Gandara's options on the roll right. And now way back there on fourth down with 5:05 to go. They're going for it. And now in the pocket. Watch the weak side. Chasing him is Noel. And now his throw up the middle of the field is going to be caught. And they do make the catch. That is Kubria on the reception. As the fans were getting a little antsy, saying, Gandara, just throw it, and he does, and he finds Kubriel down on the 4-yard line. A sliding catch saves the possession and keeps a turnover on downs off the board.
A great catch there by the Mavericks, and it got this Maverick fan base excited there, as it should.
And now first and goal from the 4-yard line as Gandara comes back from the sideline with the play read. And by golly, a fantastic play, desperately needed, obviously. Otherwise, it would have been a turnover and another chance for Blanco to start the drive. As now 4:30 to go in the first half and 4 yards away from tying this game. Here is a handoff, and it's a sweep right side. Look at Kubriel with a little gap as he charges in. Touchdown, Mavericks, and we have a pretty even ball game now. First six on the board here on a wide run to the edge, and that is really what killed Blanco on this defensive stop.
Well, now it looks like it's running attack versus running attack. Two drives now where both teams were getting what they wanted to running the ball. Let's see maybe what adjustments are made at halftime to stop the run.
And that score coming with 4:20 to go here in the first half is now out there ready to line up this kick. You notice that the kicker out there sports an unusually big number and an impressive size to him, as that is number 54, Mr. Edgar Melendez, who is an offensive lineman and a kicker. You don't see that combination a lot, as Hernandez is there to hold it for him as he looks to tie this up. And he does just that. Point is through, and we are all evened up at 7 with 4:20 to go in the first half, and we can take a break here. As don't go anywhere, you're listening to Panthers football on 106.9 Fredericksburg and 88.9 Johnson City, as well as online on BlancoRadio.com and the Sun Radio app, all part of the Sun Radio Sports Network.
Support for Panther football comes from Spring Branch Water Well Service, offering water well drilling, pump installation, and water storage. Located 15 miles south of Blanco on Highway 281 in Spring Branch. Information online at SpringBranchWaterWellService.com or by phone at 830-885-4858. By RE/MAX Genesis owners Jane and Wayman Lightfoot, selling farms, ranches, land, and homes throughout the Hill Country, including the communities of Blanco, Bulverde, and Spring Branch. Jane Wayman and everyone at RE/MAX wish the Panthers a great season.
And now welcoming it all back out here, everybody. Riley Chestnut along with Adam Byerly, our producer and color commentator, doing a pretty nice job. I'm certainly happy to have him back after having to take control of the reins for a week. I appreciate what you do, Adam.
Yeah, it's what happens with the college lifestyle. As we are college students at Texas State, I had class last Thursday, but that'll be the only game I missed this season.
Because it's the only Thursday game. So we had to make the accordance, as now we see Melendez, the big kicker, back, ready to put this one up, and he's got a powerful one going back on top of the 10, waiting to return it is Treish, and he will. Again, he's the leader, and they're going to try and pull a trick play as Treish wanted to pretend to hand off to Cox on the 15-yard line, but kept it himself and got a pretty good gap to it with, as he keeps himself balanced, charging forward, and now gets him marked down on the 22-yard line, so about a 12-yard return there for Mr. Treish, who, of course, leads the team in kick return yards. As you count 12 on that play, I believe. I don't know what he did on the first drive, if that was him. But it was a fantastic play there by Treish to try and trick him and buy him a little extra time to gain more yardage on the play.
The most ideal situation, I think, for the Blanco Panthers right now is to run the ball, take a couple minutes off the scoreboard and add points going into halftime with the lead.
Because, again, they were on a pretty good roll. As you see, a quick sub in now is Captain Scotty Perez playing as a lineman now, ready to go. And look at that. Throw at the right side by Cox as he stays balanced on his feet and nearly gets the first down. Might be just short, so second down and one on the play with 4 minutes and counting to go here in the first half, and the score evened up at 7.
Riley, I think we're seeing Kelby Cox added to this running game a lot more than we did the first week against Canyon Lake.
He seems to be finding a really good rhythm, and the offensive line is setting up good holes for him to go and work with, as now Rogers playing on the far side. And look out, everybody. They're throwing T-shirts into the crowd as it's a handoff. Left side push. Phelps barely gaining anything, if maybe enough for the first down, as he is tackled down by number 62, Mr. Gabriel Menchaca, on the tackle there, as Cade Phelps was the man put in charge of trying to get in. He does indeed get enough for the first down. Now on the 34-yard line are the Panthers.
And we're so close to these. These home fans, we might get a T-shirt, Riley.
Ah, wouldn't you love to take home a Pearsall T-shirt to match this nice Blanco jersey?
I think I'd only wear it at home.
Throw left side, trying to connect, and it was an overshot pass there by Kelby Cox as Fortner was going wide fly on the left sideline. It was just a little bit overthrown as the man that was on the chase there against Fortner and a little bit behind was Jesse Sambrano. So a missed opportunity there by Cox.
But it's nice to value all the Texas high school football teams. So I would love to just get a T-shirt or something and just hang it up in my room and just remember these times with you, Riley.
Oh, thank you, Adam. I appreciate all the time we can spend together. It's now ready to back in under center. No receivers out, and Cox is going to toss it to Phelps. He gets a good hole from Cox and even from Brandon Phipps, a smarky little guy. But look at this. Phelps might have lost the ball. And look at this, holding it up for the recovery. It is going to be Jacob Youngblood on the fumble recovery, second one. And I think Phelps is now the second time he has given up the ball tonight, so having a little bit of trouble keeping possessions going through the gaps.
We said before the game that turnovers was going to be something that the Panthers had to win, and now the last two drives by the Panthers ending with turning over the football.
Yep, interception, and now two fumbles, three turnovers for the Blanco Panthers, not necessarily a clean first half. And great field position to start here on the 41-yard line in Blanco territory is going to be Pearsall with 2:50 to go here in the first half. The game all knotted up at 7. And looking over there, the cheerleaders giving it their best spirit as actually it wasn't a fumble. It was a throw over the short side, and it was a bad throw. A terrible decision by Cox leads to the actual turnover that just happened. Well,
we thought
we got fooled.
Yeah, we thought, maybe – they didn't rule it a fumble, but it didn't happen. It didn't really matter anyway.
And Cox tries to do too much there as he gets hit on the throw, and it takes a couple yards off it and lands right in front. On top of the hands of it was Jesse Elizondo, number 52, a defensive tackle playing right where the defensive line was standing, just waited for that soft toss that came off of the bad hit on Cox, and a terrible decision there by Kelby, his second pick of the night.
Now let's see what this defense does to try to stop this Maverick running game.
As in the gun, it'll be a keep. Rolling right, throw short. And he overshoots his man on a running throw by Gandara. Tried to connect on the right side there with number 32, Mr. Manuel Ramos. And so it'll be no gain. Second down and 10 off the incompletion on a running throw inside of a block.
Gandara looked like he was close to passing the line of scrimmage with that. I was kind of surprised he just didn't run it for a few yards there.
Yeah, me too. I guess both sides are having trouble with quarterback decision-making thus far in this game. But it's a whole lot of game left to be played, and certainly a lot that can be corrected that quickly by these two guys. As they both come with great experience, and it'll be a handoff left side. Sweeping is Martinez out on the edge. He gets a good diving block and is going to stay out all the way to inside the red zone on the 20. In fact, he gets there. And that's a great gain. 20-yard rush off the jet sweep through the left side by Javier Martinez with 2:21 to go in the first half. And actually put it down at the 22, but still 18 yards. Javier Martinez, the same sweep play, and it works perfectly.
Speaking of the quarterbacks, both of them have very similar styles of playing. Mm-hmm. Both want to implement their running.
And, of course, both struggling to make pass. But, again, a lot can be corrected as now it's a handoff through the middle. Cubriel doesn't gain much as that play has been pretty well neutralized by Blanco's interior line all night. It's just been the outside edge runs that have hurt the Panthers. But barely a yard to gain on that play makes it second down.
And it should be interesting if Javier Martinez keeps getting these good runs to the outside, if they start bringing up a secondary and maybe giving the Mavericks a chance to go down the field passing the ball.
And, of course, the number one thing here for Blanco to do is not panic and play exactly the way you're supposed to, as the beauty of Kelby Cox being out there almost all the time is that he can think about what he needs to correct on the offensive side while trying to make up for it defensively. And he had a pick last week, so let's see as it'll be a toss left side. Great block on the outside, and Martinez is a one-man show as he goes bloody. And look, no, it is not a touchdown. It'll be down at the one-yard line. Still a great run on the left side sweep again by Martinez. He has just had a step ahead of the Blancos defense all night with help from some great outside blocking on low hits. And with a minute 25 to go on the one-yard line, the Mavericks are threatening to take the lead here.
And the Panthers got to do something to figure out a way to stop Javier Martinez.
Mm-hmm. Anything, really. As last time they were in this position from the four-yard line, they gave it on the outside run to Oscar Cubriel, and he just marched in there.
I watched for a read option right here by Gandera.
And now let's see. It'll be a handoff left side, a spin, and on the carry is Ramos as he gets into the end zone. Touchdown, Mavericks takes the lead 13-7 over Blanco. And will now send out the big boy Melendez to go and ice the kick.
And they just do what Marshawn Lynch wanted the Seahawks to do, and that's just go up the middle for the touchdown.
You're trying to bring up past memories there. You can't forget the fact that Malcolm Butler read that play perfectly. And that was a pretty impressive story, as now same merchandise being chucked into the seats. I guess for every touchdown there's a specialty to it. As now Melendez with a minute and one to go in the first half looking to ice the extra point. And he does get it off and in there. So it's 14-7 Mavericks with a minute and 1 second to go here in this first half. And that seems like a good time to take another break. Don't go anywhere as the Blanco Panthers are going to try and make something happen here with just a minute to go in the first half. As Mavericks Nation currently leads 14-7, you're listening to Blanco Panthers football on Sun Radio.
Support for tonight's Blanco Panther football broadcast comes from Peterson Tire, the Hill Country's authorized Yokohama dealer, offering Yokohama tires including Geolander AT Geo15 and HT Geo56, Avid lines and performance tires like Advance Sports AS and S-Drive, locations in Blanco and in Johnson City along Highway 281, available by phone at 830-833-1004 in Blanco and 830-868-2004 in Johnson City. Daniel and everyone at Peterson Tire wish all the best to the Panthers in a great 2017 season. Go Panthers!
And now we welcome you back here, everybody. As if you missed the last drive, it was a pretty quick one, in fact. A little bit of help there on the side, as you see the Panthers having trouble stopping the wide jet sweep run here by Javier Martinez mostly. And he nearly got into the end zone before it was then handed off to Manuel Ramos, and he gets inside from the one-yard line and gets the one-yard touchdown run. As now you see big guy Oscar Melendez back to kick, and he boots this one down the center of the field in between the hash marks. Waiting to return now is Phelps. He's had two turnovers personally tonight as a running back option. Now getting pushed is finally knocked down. It was a really good game, though.
And with 54 seconds, Riley, it should be very interesting to see how aggressive the Panthers are here on offense.
Yeah, they're going to definitely. I mean, when the passing game hasn't necessarily been going well for you all night, with Kelby Cox having thrown two picks with both pretty questionable decisions under pressure, the question here will be how quickly can they get the same running effect that Javier Martinez has had for the Mavericks in this game?
It should be interesting to see if the Panthers try to drive the ball or if they just go into halftime getting the ball back in the second half first.
Definitely doesn't have much to lose here. In fact, that would be a smart play anyway, only down one touchdown, as now you see we're going to have a timeout called. Yep, stoppage of play. And it will be a timeout for the Pearsall Mavericks, and, well, that'll give us time to go into another quick break. Don't go anywhere with a score 14-7 Mavericks and 54 seconds to go before halftime. You're listening to Blanco Panthers football on Sun Radio.
Support for Panther football comes from Spring Branch Water Well Service, offering water well drilling, pump installation, and water storage. Located 15 miles south of Blanco on Highway 281 in Spring Branch. Information online at springbranchwaterwellservice.com or by phone at 830-885-4858.
And by Dirtworks, servicing the Hill Country with landscape material sales, rock milling, and lake construction. Information available online at dirtworks.com or by phone at 830-833-2097. Dirtworks has been supporting Blanco ISD Athletics since 1999. Go Panthers!
And welcome back, everybody, as a timeout was called by Pearsall. And with 54 seconds to go here in the first half, out down in Pearsall, Texas, the Panthers on the road down 14-7. Haven't been able to catch the same effect that they did, as now rolling right. Cox is going to get protected by Hood and Lovingood and now get a run. Throw it from the right sideline up the field, incomplete. And looking at what went down over there, as the fans aren't reacting out of frustration, they're reacting to the kids with a T-shirt cannon in the crowd. When have you ever seen an actual high school team with T-shirt cannons?
Well, I've come from 6A in Houston. They have all gadgets out on Friday Night Football.
Well, I come from 6A Cibolo Steel, one of the best teams in the state, and we never had a T-shirt cannon. We had guys that were chucking it. Those band guys really got a good workout in. And the reason we now have a stoppage on the field is there is an injured player out there on the field, and he is wearing Blanco blue. No clue who the identity of the player is, but he is out over on the right sideline getting checked out as he was hit out of bounds on the play. And now trying to stick it all together, everyone taking a nice kneel, and we're going to take a nice stoppage of play here and take a nice little break. And when we come back, hopefully we'll be able to tell you who exactly is getting treated out there for Blanco, but don't go anywhere. You're listening to Panthers football as a hush falls over the crowd.
Support comes from AMM Collision Center, specializing in complete body and paint repair for residents in Austin and the Texas Hill Country. Four locations, including in Dripping Springs on Highway 290, west of the light at Sunset Canyon. More information, including hours of operation, online at ammcollision.com and by phone at 512-894-3888.
And by Peterson Tire, the Hill Country's authorized Yokohama dealer, offering Yokohama tires including Geolander AT Geo15 and HT Geo56. Avid lines and performance tires like Advance Sports AS and S-Drive. Locations in Blanco and in Johnson City along Highway 281. Available by phone at 830-833-1004 in Blanco and 830-868-2004 in Johnson City. Daniel and everyone at Peterson Tire wish all the best to the Panthers and a great 2017 season. Go Panthers!
Financial support comes from Charles Schwab Incorporated, member SIPC, on Highway 290 in Dripping Springs, and Brian Carpenter, branch leader, financial consultant. Personalized financial guidance for residents of the Texas Hill Country. Information at schwab.com/drippingsprings.
And by Dirtworks, servicing the Hill Country with landscape material sales, rock milling, and lake construction. Information available online at dirtworks.com or by phone at 830-833-2097. Dirtworks has been supporting Blanco ISD Athletics since 1999. Go Panthers!
And by KNC Supply, selling hardware, lumber, and farm and ranch supplies to the residents of Blanco and the Texas Hill Country. Located at 2400 North Highway 281 in Blanco. Open Monday through Friday, 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. More information by phone at 830-833-1504. Kirk and everyone at KNC Supply wish all the best to the Panthers on a great season.
And now we welcome you back out here to the field down in Pearsall, Texas from Mack Laxon Field. There's still a stoppage of play on the field, or off the field actually, as whoever is injured and in a mass huddle. We've heard everything from it being a player to even being one of the Blanco High School band members. But obviously we never got a good look at what happened, as we were focused on the incompletion that happened beforehand by Kelby Cox, who the only thing we can really do is we can tell who isn't hurt. We can see the numbers that are still in fine form, and it looks like every single member of the offense for the Panthers is okay. As you see, they still got a man down on the field, and look at this, they're bringing out a stretcher. Oh, my goodness. You just hate to see this. Yep, someone is hurt, someone is down, and someone cannot get up. They have to bring out a stretcher to help him. So this is a real tough sight to see for us and for anyone who
as kids out here invested in this game to see the kind of injuries that can come up when you play against this team. And apparently it might not even be a single player. It could be a member of the band. But, of course, everyone's still kneeling, still down, still trying to make sure and praying for the best. This is by far the toughest injury I've seen happen in the first three games of this Blanco season. But, of course, Adam, we still have no idea who it is.
It's quieter than you can hear a pin drop right now in the stadium.
In fact, you even have some fans turning around and us wondering, where is your common decency, man? But all we can really do is hope for the best. As I think it's time we can take another break here. And as the stoppage on the field includes, again, the stretcher's brought out, and they're now just trying to make sure they can get that kid up and onto the stretcher and take him off the field. We'll be right back here with Panthers football on Sun Radio.
And by Spring Branch Water Well Service, offering water well drilling, pump installation, and water storage. Located 15 miles south of Blanco on Highway 281 in Spring Branch. Information online at springbranchwaterwellservice.com or by phone at 830-885-4858.
And by Clay Pack Greenhouses, deep-rooted in Blanco athletics. Everyone at Clay Pack Greenhouses wishes all the best to the Panthers on a great season.
And by Lone Star Capital Bank, offering construction loans, home mortgages, and banking options for your personal or business need. Online at lscb.com and by phone at 830-833-4587. Branch manager Ernesto Bustamante and everyone at Lone Star Capital Bank wishes the Panthers the very best this season. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
And by Old 300 Barbecue. Open 7 days a week on the square in Blanco. Large and small catering available. More information at 833-1227 or online at old300bbq.com. On behalf of Old 300 Barbecue, here's to a great 2017 Panther football season. And by RE/MAX Genesis owners Jane and Wayman Lightfoot, selling farms, ranches, land, and homes throughout the Hill Country, including the communities of Blanco, Will Verde, and Spring Branch. Jane Wayman and everyone at RE/MAX wish the Panthers a great season. And by Spring Branch Water Well Service, offering water well drilling, pump installation, and water storage. Located 15 miles south of Blanco on Highway 281 in Spring Branch. Information online at springbranchwaterwellservice.com or by phone at 830-885-4858.
And by AMM Collision Center, specializing in complete body and paint repair for residents in Austin and the Texas Hill Country. Four locations, including in Dripping Springs on Highway 290, west of the light at Sunset Canyon. More information, including hours of operation, online at ammcollision.com and by phone at 512-894-3888.
And so, welcome back, everybody, and we have finally learned the identity of, probable identity of who is down there currently getting put on a stretcher, as there is a car out there on the track waiting to transport. And now, from the way it looks, still unconfirmed exactly who it is. We do have good news. It is not one of the players for Blanco or one of the band members, as I now finally see that the band for Blanco is all the way over on the other end of the field towards the right end of the end zone. But still not exactly certain who it is that is down there getting helped up and getting put on a stretcher, but they are finally making an effort to lift whoever it is up.
This is a very scary situation here. Very scary situation here in Pearsall.
Mm-hmm. You can only hope for the best that she will turn out or he will turn out okay. It's not exactly known still. But, of course, all the players still kneeling, still praying for whoever is getting put on the stretcher as the crowd finally gets up and claps. And the good news is we're finally going to see whoever is hurt get transported somewhere where they can be taken care of and put in safely.
And it looks to be a woman.
Mm-hmm. And we did have a probable identity nod. It was the team photographer for Blanco, Ms. Schwinn. Now finally getting helped off the field. And it looks like they're just going to carry her without using the stretcher into the car to transport her to safety and get her treated for whatever exactly happened. I don't know exactly what injury she suffered, but Ms. Schwinn, glad to see she's getting taken off the field and will go somewhere to get that treated. Best of luck to you, and all our prayers from Sun Radio, from Blanco, from everybody are with the loyal and very, very well done photographer for this Blanco Panthers team. All the pictures I see online and around always look fantastic, so I cannot wait for when she can get back out on the field and do what she does best.
It was encouraging to see her
not get on the stretcher.
Yeah, not get on the stretcher.
Yeah, she was probably talking him out of it, saying, look, I want to be able to at least stand on my own 2 feet or at least not have to get carried off in a stretcher. And now we finally have a play ready to get started with 45 seconds left here in the first half. And in the gun is Cox. Three receivers all bunched up on the far side. And now looking around for the play call, there is going to be a whistle and a timeout to save a delay of game there by Blanco. So a timeout called by head coach Tesh. And so we're going to have to take another break here, but don't go anywhere. This one will just be a little quickie, and we will be right back with Panthers football. It's 45 seconds to go in the first half, and the score is currently 14-7 for the home team in Pearsall.
Support comes from RE/MAX Genesis owners Jane and Waymond Lightfoot, selling farms, ranches, land, and homes throughout the Hill Country, including the communities of Blanco, Bulverde, and Spring Branch. Jane Waymond and everyone at RE/MAX wish the Panthers a great season. And by Spring Branch Water Well Service, offering water well drilling, pump installation, and water storage. Located 15 miles south of Blanco on Highway 281 in Spring Branch. Information online at springbranchwaterwellservice.com or by phone at 830-85-58.
Okay, everybody, as we see that one played out. Now going here from the 37-yard line, Blanco currently going on first down. Snap and Cox protected as he feels nothing in the pocket, still dancing, fires up the field, and watches that pass get deflected away by Carson Neal, incomplete. It was intended for Peyton Van Dyke, but a good job there staying with Van Dyke on the out route toward the wide side. And Neal comes up with the pass deflection, first of any kind here today for either side. Which, again, coming off of 11 pass deflections last week for the Blanco Panthers, definitely we're hoping to see something a little bit more than that.
38 seconds left here in the first half. Let's see what the Panthers do here.
38 seconds to go exactly. Is now on second and 10. Cox again in the pocket. Steps forward. Gets away. Right side. Fires. And it is going to be a dropped interception that could have been taken there by Talese. But he doesn't get it. He still forces the incompletion, though. But again, Cox, a dangerous pass there. That could have been pick number 3 on the night.
And that's what I feared if the Panthers go aggressive, is maybe a pick going the other way for 7 going to half.
I mean, for a team that traditionally dominates by running the ball, it is not that easy to see. And you can tell the way the passing game is sometimes working out here, as Cox's only real big play of the night being that sideline catch there to Van Dyke that set up the first score of the season. And now back under center, no longer in the gun, is Cox, with two receivers on the left side playing one in back of each other. It's a handoff to Treish as he dives forward. Barely 3 yards on the gain there for Treish with 20 seconds to go. And it is going to be a four and out here for the Panthers. As nope, the way the clock's ticking now at 14 and going, it's probably going to be the end of the first half here.
It looks like Pearsall is just going to let the clock run out here.
Yep, exactly right. And with 5 seconds, 4, 3, 2, and 1. And we have halftime, ladies and gentlemen. Down here from Pearsall, it has been an entertaining first half. A turnover-heavy first half, though. 3 of them for Blanco, 2 fumbles, and 2, actually 4. I got to get my math right. 2 fumbles and 2 interceptions for the Panthers, and yet they are only down 1 touchdown with a score of 14-7, Pearsall. And the halftime show ready to get started. But before we get to that in the band's performance, we will take a break, as when the band plays afterwards, we will have a nice little halftime show ready for you. Don't go anywhere. With a score 14-7 after one half of play down in Pearsall, Blanco on the come up. This is Blanco Panthers football, ready to go here on Sun Radio.
Support comes from AMM Collision Center, specializing in complete body and paint repair for residents in Austin and the Texas Hill Country. 4 locations, including in Dripping Springs on Highway 290, west of the light at Sunset Canyon. More information, including hours of operation, online at ammcollision.com and by phone at 512-894-3888.
So that is a really interesting thing happening right now, as both teams are back on the field, and they're going to be playing really quickly. What exactly went on there?
Looks like the Pearsall took a timeout with 1 second left.
Wow. So, yep, exactly right. A timeout stops the clock at 1 second, and now they're taking a timeout. So, sorry, folks, but we got pretty confused as the clock did run out, and we were ready to call it halftime, but apparently Pearsall wasn't.
Pearsall trying to do one big play here before half to try to put up points on the Blanco Panthers here.
I mean, I don't understand how this could possibly be, but whatever they want to go for. I mean, their main bread-and-butter play tonight for Pearsall has been a jet sweep to the left side handoff that sends Javier Martinez running about two steps ahead, it seems, with that lightning-quick cutback.
Looks like they'll only get a special teams play. Looks like they'll only be able to maybe get a kick return for a touchdown. Is that maybe what they're going for? Maybe trying to block the kick.
Yeah, as we see here, it is fourth down, and I guess, of course, Blanco is electing to go for it. They got one play left with 1 second, so why not go for the full distance? As now in the pocket, we got Hood on the side of Cox, ready to protect. He stands up in the pocket, goes deep down the field, long pass up in the air, and it is going to be picked off to end the half. And that looks to be Mr. Hernandez on the interception, and that makes three to end the first half here. And that is halftime, ladies and gentlemen, and a messy one at that for senior quarterback Kelby Cox as he throws three picks in this first half of play. Demley has a lot of correcting to do going into the half, but impressively enough, Blanco is only down 14-7. And we will finally get halftime started, ladies and gentlemen, with the score again, 14-7 Mavericks. Don't go anywhere. We'll be back after this quick little break as the band is getting all their instruments out ready to play. And when we come back, we will have their halftime performance waiting for you and halftime analysis from me and Adam. So don't go anywhere. This is Blanco Panthers football from Pearsall, Texas. The score is 14-7 Mavericks.
Financial support comes from Charles Schwab Incorporated, member SIPC, on Highway 290 in Dripping Springs, and Brian Carpenter, branch leader, financial consultant. Personalized financial guidance for residents of the Texas Hill Country. Information at schwab.com/drippingsprings.
And by Dirtworks, servicing the Hill Country with landscape material sales, rock milling, and lake construction. Information available online at dirtworks.com or by phone at 830-833-2097. Dirtworks has been supporting Blanco ISD Athletics since 1999. Go Panthers!